is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Man, you'd think there were 100 people here. Thank you so much for that. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I started thinking about my message series as how lovely is your dwelling place. And I thought, what am I passionate about? And it's not about... Listen carefully before y'all start texting me later going, uh-oh, or our pastor doesn't want to make Christians. I don't want to make Christians. I want to make Christ followers. I want to develop people into ambassadors of Christ. Okay? And all I mean by that is I don't want anyone to become religious. I want us to develop an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and understand what that means and understand how He can help us through different things that we go through. And I thought, Christ followers, I've talked many times about the label and Ground Zero. We've been wearing labels for the last several weeks. Why? Intentionally to see if they start to peel, fall off, whatever, because that's part of our lesson in developing and understanding who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's all I'm going to read out of that, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, my notes down in the bottom of that, as I'm looking through the study notes, it says, that says we are more than just messengers. Yes, we are messengers of His message of love and peace and reconciliation. But for Christ's sake, literally, we have to model it. So when it says we have to be more than just a messenger, we have to be ambassadors. We have to model His love. We have to model His patience. We have to model His peace. This is tied in nicely the last couple weeks. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We're to model those things for other people to see and witness from us. If we are just messengers, that's tough. You know, I'm a YouTube fan. Spend hours a day watching YouTube, not literally, almost, but not literally. I spend my time more productively. As soon as I said that, I said, dang it, I'm busted. Okay. So anyway, I was watching a video of this lady that was just acting a little crazy. And she was not very nice and said some really mean and awful and hateful things to people. And she had called the police to come get these people that are harassing her by videotaping how mean and ugly she was to them. And the police came and arrested the lady that called the police. And she said, well, these handcuffs are hurting me. They said, they're not made for comfort, ma'am. You're a prisoner. She said, I've never been a prisoner before. They said, well, you are today. And she said, I don't hate these people. I have friends that are these people. You always do after you insult these people. It happened to be a religious group that she was insulting. It'd be like saying, oh, you Christian. No wonder people hate you. And then going, I have friends that are Christians. She was doing something like that. But it gets worse. And it wasn't Christians, because then she said, I'm a Christian. I go to such and such. Go ahead, call and talk to Pastor so-and-so. And I'm telling you, Prayer of Faith, if you act like she acted, don't ever say, I go to Prayer of Faith World Outreach. And don't ever say, call Pastor Adam or Pastor Eric. They will vouch for me. Oh, yeah, they claim to be a Christian, but yeah, they don't know anything about it. Yeah, arrest them, whatever. I was blown away by her actions, and it really made me think as I was studying for this, we can't just be messengers. There are enough messengers, listen carefully, of the gospel of Jesus Christ that don't live it out. And I'm talking about pastors. We are not perfect by any means, and I miss the mark a lot. But man, I tried diligently to live out my faith. There are enough messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ that are not living it out. You can look around. I don't mean look around here at church. I mean look around in the world, and you'll see several examples. Now, I get sin comes to us all, and temptation comes to us all, and we stumble and fall, and I get those things. But there's a lot of people that know exactly what they're doing. But they stand there and give the message of the gospel. My message is, you guys may have noticed over the years, mine tend to focus more on this lifestyle. Do these things. Love one another. Forgive one another. I want us to live out our faith. I don't want us to just know the Bible and quote it and then live a life of a mean-spirited person. Man, I want us to live out the life that he talks about. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. You may be able to figure out where I'm going there. Just remember, if you're acting crazy, don't profess to be a Christian and tell them what church you go to and who your pastor is. I don't want to be connected to that business. Actually, go ahead and do that, and I'll work with you guys. But okay, but there's people that do that. I was kind of sad for the church and the pastor because it's all over YouTube. And I thought, mercy me, oh my. But we have to model Christ's love. We have to model the peace and the life of humility and generosity and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have to model, as Aaron did, the life of serving others, even as a young person. What are you doing? I'm going down to serve at Falls Creek. Doing what? Whatever they need me to do. And sometimes when we pray for the rain, we're very scared of that because we don't know what that rain's going to bring. We pray or we don't pray for things because we think God is going to make me do this or that. We can't overpromise and underdeliver on the gospel message, church. Did you get that? We can't overpromise and underdeliver. Become a Christian and your life will be fantastic. You have someone that is fighting your fight for you. His name is Jesus Christ. God is on your side. He will protect you. And then we give the wrong message and say, there's no problems that will ever become of you. And then someone runs into trouble and said, man, I knew that dang religious stuff wasn't going to work for me. Oh man, we've got to make sure you understand all of it because you're going to find some trials and tribulations. And you're going to find some stuff, as we read about, that will cause hurt and sorrow and pain and suffering. But it's temporary. I better get into the message. I'll get way behind here. Sorry. Last week, we talked about faith over fear. Anybody think about that over the last 7 days? Faith over fear. Did we have some things we feared about? We said, let me just put them aside. Let me look up these scriptures Pastor Dilly gave me. Or did we just say, hey, it was another Sunday? And that sometimes becomes the problem. We have to study throughout the week. Remember last week, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. See, sometimes we pick and choose. He's given us a spirit of power. Yeah, you forgot to love those people in your message, or you forgot to love them after the message when you were dealing with people. And of sound mind. Well, if he didn't give us a spirit of fear, where do you suppose we pick that up from? Walking down the street, saw a bag sitting down. It had some stuff, and I picked it up. Ooh, spirit of fear. I think I'll take it home, see if it's valuable. But we've got to figure these things out. Where, if he didn't give us a spirit of fear, where did I stop and pick that up? How did that come to be that that became my lifestyle rather than a spirit of power and love and sound mind? We fear things in the world every day. They're changing constantly. But we have to learn and grow. And the Bible says we are overcomers as well. We can have a spirit of fear today. We shouldn't have that same spirit of fear a year from now by any means. It becomes a process to overcome that and to get past that. Some people can turn on a dime and get over it. Other people, it takes a longer time and a process. Well, this week we're talking about choosing joy. And as Christ followers, not just Christians, again, understand what I'm saying. Yes, it is great to be a Christian. But man, if you just say that by label and not by actions, then it's not as valuable, is it? But if you say, I want to be a Christ follower, I want to follow what He says to do. And we want to be His ambassador. And when we go into a room, we want the aroma of Christ and not the stench of sin. We want those things to be around us when we walk in those rooms. If we do those things, we have to be able to demonstrate the message. Is that not true? We have to demonstrate it. You know, as I spent time with Laren and Dylan over the last several weeks doing premarital counseling, that is a fascinating time. It's similar to Wednesday night. Why? You spend time just sitting and talking with people and learning about them. And at the same time on Wednesday night, relaxing. But we have to be able to demonstrate the message that we're talking about, even in, and especially in times of trouble, or sorrow, or tribulation. Whether it's the job woes, relationship woes, financial woes, whatever it is, we have to be able to demonstrate that, especially while we go through those things. I'm a Christian. What happened? You haven't been to church in 20 years. Well, you know, something went wrong, and I just thought, well, if there was God in heaven, He'd love me, and He'd take care of that. Man, it's not so. I don't know what one page you read out of the Bible to think that, but you forgot all these other pages that said all these things. But it says He'll help you through those things. And you'll have sorrow today. But tomorrow when you wake up, He will fill you and refresh you with joy. That joy comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. And I started a little earlier than just the fruit of the Spirit because my subtitle above it says walking in the Spirit. And that's really what we're talking about. Talking the talk is one thing. Everybody can do that, right? I mean, again, Satan knows what the Scriptures say. He knows that. He can tell you. But he isn't going to live out that Scripture. So mine says walking in the Spirit, walking the walk. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Pity to think what the like is. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why would we want to be on that list? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit. And going back to the YouTube video, I think about that lady and I just think, you know, just the outburst of wrath that she had. And then to say, I have friends that are those things that I just said I hated and they're ugly and they're this and that. I'm a Christian. Actually, I just love that. I'm a Christian, and the police officer said, you probably should look up the definition of that. I'm a Christian. I go to such and such. He said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I thought, man, what a poor example. What a poor witness for Christ, is it not? I mean, you're videotaped doing these horrible things and then going, I'm a Christian. And here's where I go. Well, they better. Never mind. I won't go there. I'll just be quiet. Sorry. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's two different things, passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. If we have a Spirit of God about us, if we are of Christ, the fruit of that is that we have joy in our life and peace. And joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness says, oh, look, man, I found $100 laying there. I spent it, it's gone, or someone stole it from me. My happiness is gone. Joy says, man, I've got this lifestyle. You know, Jan, I appreciate, saw me at the door this morning, said, oh, how are you doing? It was a long day, long night. Yes, it was. And I thought, but He sustains me. He energizes me. He fills me. And He is my source. Was the sleep plentiful last night? No, but the rest was good. And I don't mean the rest of the night was good. I mean the rest that I got was good. Although the sleep was not plentiful, the rest was good. Because I knew I'm going to have to rest in Him, because I won't get to rest in this. But it was a beautiful day, and those things fill me. And they give me joy. He gives me joy. Those things give me pleasure, but He gives me joy in the midst of those things. You know, talkers, there's talkers and walkers, right? And I feel like these verses that we just read separate the talkers and the walkers. The talkers are the top half, verse 16 through 21. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the talkers. But it says walk in the Spirit. The walkers say, oh man. Let me look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is, oh my goodness, I better love one another. I'm filled with joy. I have peace. I make peace. I desire to have peace among other people. Blessed is the peacemaker. I have patience with others. I'm filled with kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Oh, and by the way, when I belong to Him, He gives me the strength to do that last thing and have some self-control. That's what the walkers do. The walkers say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to talk the talk, but I'm going to walk the walk as well. And I'm going to live the gospel message in my daily life. Talkers can give the message contrary to their lifestyle. But it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Christ's followers, ambassadors of Christ, disciples of Christ, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Church, it may be time. It may be time for many of us to crucify the flesh. It may be time for us to crucify the flesh. Yeah, but that's so hard. You see, I've got this lifestyle. I have this way. I have these habits. I have these things that I do. Oh, it's so ingrained in me. I don't know if I can change. He'll give you the power. Almost sounds like we're living in a world of what if. Or yeah, but. No, Christ can give you the strength to do this. Yeah, but. But He doesn't understand my situation. Yeah, but He doesn't know me. Yeah, but He doesn't know what I've been through. Christ Christ's followers and ambassadors have crucified the flesh, and we may need to take time to crucify the flesh. And that's hard to do, church. It goes back into something I mentioned earlier. You've got to have humility to crucify the flesh. You've got to have humility to admit that you need to. It's so hard. I get it. It took me 20 years. Okay? Emotions sometimes separate us from Christ, but you've got to listen. We allow those emotions to separate us from God. Joy is simply a state of being that we have to choose to allow it to permeate our life. Joy is a state of being. You know, and I was going to talk about anger versus joy, and I thought, oh, there's way too much in anger. The Bible says a lot about it, but there's three styles of anger, and there's four key components of anger. And I thought, oh, what a striking point. Oh, my, the explosion, what? I thought I didn't want to go down that path. I didn't want to dig into all the anger issues. But I thought if we focus on joy, those anger things will become things that we'll have to understand and work. Just like fear. What causes fear? I don't know. It's different for all of us. By the way, last Wednesday night, I moved a trash can over there. It's a big black snake. What do you think I did? I feared it. Where did that come from? I don't know. I've never been bitten by a snake. I guess I just think they're gross. But I feared that thing for sure. So I ran away. Texted my wife and said, I don't need this. But my point being, our fear comes from different places and sometimes unknown places. Other people be like, oh, that's a cool snake. I don't know if it's poisonous or not. Maybe that's my fear. And sometimes I've seen it move pretty quick, almost quicker than I possibly could. So I don't want any part of that. So let's focus on joy. Joy has to be cultivated. We talked last week about fear in our heart, in our minds. And we said, well, we have to protect those. We have to protect our heart. We have to protect our mind from letting everything just infiltrate it, especially these days. We're being hit by so many things. We can't decipher truth from non-truth half the time. So joy has to be cultivated and protected, just like a garden, like we talked about. But we've got to be careful because there's some very beautiful weeds out there. Think, oh, look at that pretty flower. You know, that's actually a weed that's choking out your garden. Oh, I didn't know that. It looks so beautiful. Yep. There are some very beautiful weeds out there that we have to be cautious of and watch out for. But I want the joy that God gives me that can't be taken away. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I want the peace that nobody can take away from me. I want the rest that nobody can take from me. They can take my hours of sleep, but they can't take the rest that He can give me. That I love. John chapter 16, verse 16 through 24. And Jesus is with His disciples. And He says, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of His disciples said among themselves, what is this that He says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that He says? A little while. We do not know what He is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask Him. And He said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. But the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. Why is that? For joy that a human being has been born into this world. When I hear little babies crying in this sanctuary, whoo, I love it. Why? For a human being has been brought into this world. You get to celebrate 11 months of Atlas today. You know, almost a year old. Caleb, sir, I thought about you when I read this because I thought, oh man, a mother that's getting ready to have that child is just in sorrow going, oh. But a little while afterwards, when you see the joy of that baby. It worked the other day. Friday morning, one of my coworkers had a baby. And he sent a picture early in the morning. And we have a morning conference call. And our chief operating officer on the call shared that picture with the company, with the people that were on the call. And he said, this is why we do what we do. One of our core values says, everyone is family. He said, we do this because we want to provide lives for these people and their families. And it's so neat and refreshing to see that and hear that. And this says, joy will come. Why? That a human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And I thought, man, as we read these things, we have sorrow now. There may be situations that we're upset about or that we have sorrow. But he says, he will see us again. I want you to think about that. That's a promise he's given us. He'll see us again. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we're connected to him. And he says, man, you can have sorrow today, but you will rejoice because you will be with me again. I thought, man, we will rejoice and no one can take that joy from us. Can you imagine in heaven? There's nobody running around trying to steal your joy. Praise God, take us all today type thing, you know? There's enough people trying to steal joy from people. You didn't do, you can't do, you'll never be, you'll never amount to. Man, we don't need that. We need to encourage one another. Look around our young people sprinkled about. Oh, what the heck, all of us. But young people, the words we speak to each other, the other person may be laughing, but it may be hurtful. And we have to be so careful how we speak to them and what we say to them. Because we think it's funny. And everybody's laughing. Even the person's laughing. It's hurtful. Or it can be. Somebody tells me a bald joke, I'm going to laugh, right? It doesn't hurt me as much. I mean, I get it. You know, I get why they're saying it. But you think that does me any good? Do you think that helps me and motivates me for the day? Geez, they must love it. I might as well just take the sides off at this point. You know, I use that as an example because that doesn't bother me a whole lot. But it doesn't edify me in any way, does it? You know, I get yesterday out in the sun. People were very concerned with my head out in the sun doing the wedding. But, you know, those things are fine. Be cautious, be concerned. But the words we speak to one another, especially to young people, those minds are so easily formed or thickened to protect us. Do not let the enemy steal your joy for 1 minute, because I guarantee that 1 minute will suddenly somehow become hours or days later that they've robbed you of your joy. Choose joy. As we close today, I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about how lovely is your dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place? Is it filled with fear or faith? Is it filled with joy or anger and jealousy and those things? I want us to beautify our dwelling place. Start living out the gospel message. Now, I mentioned something earlier about crucifying the flesh. Maybe you feel it's time to crucify the flesh. Will you do me a favor and just let me know after the service? You can come down as we sing, whatever. You don't have to, but man, if you want to, so be it. But maybe you just need some help crucifying the flesh. And then think about, what does your dwelling place look like and what are you filling it with? Let's bow our heads in prayer.